You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:55pm with Stephen Powell, Mick Norton and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Aaron Market Racing on the domestic front. We've got two meetings over in Ireland as well from Limerick and Nace. And we're going to look ahead to the best of that. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm in very good shape, Mark, and... much looking forward to the racing coming up and also delighted with the racing on Saturday.
Yeah, really good Saturday to look back at here, John. Eclipse Day at Sandown, always a good day. We had an interesting renewal of the Eclipse this time round with the Gurkha going off favourites. An improving three-year-old, people thought he was unlucky in at Royal Ascot. And it wasn't that three-year-old that won, though. It was the fast improving Hawk Bill who's made it, I think it's six wins in a row now, and landed the big prize.
Absolutely right, and deservedly so too, I think. There's no question about that. A very interesting point raised in the studio earlier on Saturday afternoon was whether the Eclipse had been run in any recent times in such soft ground. And generally speaking, we're of the opinion that it wasn't the case, that it almost always on good or good to firm. And I think that made a tremendous amount of difference to the race. William Buick was determined to have Hawkbill in a prominent position right from the start. And he was prominent throughout the race, running in second place behind Countermeasure throughout the back straight where they went wide and then round into the home straight. And I think it's fair to say Hawkbill did actually get first run on the Gurkha. I mean, I'm not blaming Ryan Moore for that at all. It was just that Will Buick was absolutely determined to have Hawkbill out there in front, really quite a long way from home. The Gurkha came, as we saw, in really brave style and challenged firmly at least two or three times inside the last couple of furlongs, and I thought he probably would go past. But every time he got to Hawkbill, Buick asked for that little bit more, and the Godolphin horse pulled it out, and in the last sort of 50 yards or so, he actually went clear to win relatively cosily. So it was a great performance by Hawkbill, not a disgrace for the Gurkha. And to be fair, I thought one of my favourite horses, Time Test, ran remarkably well in the very soft ground to finish third. And Hawkbill, well, tremendous pleasure for Godolphin, because I think it was their first UK Group 1 race victory for quite a long time. I'm not absolutely certain if they had one last year, but I'm 90% sure they didn't. And they'll be delighted with that. And Will Buick was, of course, absolutely delighted because he's got this long suspension coming up very shortly and he got a Group 1 under his belt.
Yeah, Group 1 winner the day before he starts his 30-day ban, so it might put him in a little bit of a better mood before that. John, anything else done out to you at Sandown? I'm going to ask you about a few races at Haydock as well, but what about Sandown?
Well, I thought there was some really interesting racing all along. And I fancied Brando very firmly in the charge. And I thought before the race he was a little bit too short at 9-4, 2-1. He was also drawn 8. But the Wokingham form is always very good for this particular contest and other sort of hot sprint handicaps following up after the Wokingham. Brando had run tremendously well in the Wokingham, a bit unlucky not to win it, in my view. I hoped he would win this afternoon. Kevin Ryan's horses appear to be coming to their peak after a quiet spell in the early part of the season. Tom Eaves was in the saddle. He went to the front a jolly long way out, Mark. I got a bit worried, you know. I had said that I thought Monsieur Joe would be the one who would chase him home, which proved to be correct. And my goodness, he very nearly got to him. Tom Eaves looked round about a furlong out, just, I thought, rather confidently. And in a way, Brando did, in fact, win just a shade comfortably, but that's possibly an understatement. And Paul Midge's sprint is in very good shape, and Monsieur Joe certainly not disgraced.
Looking back at a few at Haydock as well, John, we also had the Lancashire Oaks on Saturday afternoon as well, Group 2 for the fillies and mares, and Endless Time confirmed favouritism there, but ground it out, really.
Yes, I thought Endless Time had every right to win. Again, Godolphin, my little pet theory about Godolphin horses, particularly those trained by Charles Appleby, is that the first time out is the time to get them very often. And it doesn't matter if it's a sort of Group 3 or Group 2, even the Group 1. Now, possibly Group 1 is asking a little bit too much first time. But generally speaking, Charles gets those horses fit to run, particularly if, like Endless Time, they've been out for really quite a long while. And I thought that the filly looked really well down at the start. I did think she would win. But again, Haydock was even worse than Sandown, in my view, really gruelling. And it was very difficult to come from off the pace. And Loving Things and Lady Camelot appeared to be having a battle out there in front. And for a moment, it looked as though they were going to have it between them. And then Nightflower, the German Group 1 winner at Cologne in the autumn, came with a chance. Interesting, Freddie Tyliski opted to go up the inside route, whereas James Doyle was always going down the centre of the course. At about the two furlong marker, it appeared that Endless Time had got plenty to do. He was about two lengths behind the leading trio and seemingly flat out. But the further they went, Endless Time's pulled out more, really gritty success, and won quite comfortably in the end. And I would think Godolphin, you know, they really will be celebrating after today. Yeah. So it was a very good performance, and well done to Endless Times and Charlie Appleby.
Yeah. One more to mention at Haydock as well, John. The Old Newton Cup, the big heritage handicap there. Toddier, the winner. For a while, it looked like Snowano was going to win the race, but what did you make of it all?
Yes, well, it was a highly competitive race, as it always is. And whenever it's run, there's a biggish field and a lot of really seasoned and sometimes improving handicappers. And as you pointed out, the Tim Eastby runner, napped by two of our men in the studio, looked for a moment as though victory was coming the way at 12-1. But Rachel Richardson perhaps had found herself in front just a little bit too early, yeah. Wasn't quite certain what to do, and the result was that the horse just dropped away in the closing stages. But Torbjörn was the winner, and I'm not surprised, because the horse had won really well at Haydock earlier in the season, revelled in the ground, came late, and you know, put distance between himself and the following pack. So a good win.
Okay, anything else on your mind, John? You might not notice this while you've been in the studio all day Saturday as well, but I noticed that Noel Feely won the Jersey Champion Hurdle today.
Did he?
He won the Jersey Champion Hurdle in Le Lawn on board Rossetti, who won the race last year. He's gone over there and he's bagged that big prize over there.
Well done to Noel Feely. Yeah, so that's excellent form. I thought one of the factors that we definitely gained from Saturday afternoon's racing was that Kevin Ryan's horses are coming back to their best.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Brando was a good winner, but he also had quite a good winner at Beverly, Field of Song, first time out, and it looks as though the K. Ryan team, you know, really in peak condition at the moment. It could be well worth following them during the next fortnight or so.
Yeah, keep an eye on that. Good stuff, John. Let's leave that there, and we'll move on to Sunday's action. We'll get John's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, then, on to Sunday's racing. We've got meetings at Air and Market Racing domestically, and pretty good meetings as well, John. A bit of a nice mix there, good flat racing and decent jumping as well.
Indeed there is, and some quite good racing at Ayr with, you know, reasonably value races, which is always something that will, you know, attract spectators and racegoers and generally makes competitive sport.
Mm-hmm. It does. John's got four races picked out for us. We'll go through them now. The 2.55 at Ayr is where we start. This one is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for the three-year-olds and older, a field of 10 here, John. And we could start with Dark Ruler, if we may. The Swimbank runner went pretty close last time.
Yeah, Dark Ruler will be the choice, in fact, for me in this race. I've been waiting for Alan Swinbeck to run this horse over the past fortnight or so. He's been entered for a large number of races, including the Carlisle Bell, and hasn't actually gone to post, presumably because of the ground. Hopefully to be, you know, good enough, just on the soft side of good for Dark Ruler at Ayr. And Alan Swinbeck's team in pretty good shape, and I would have thought that this horse had a very decent chance on the form he showed when only just beaten half a length by Chauvelin at Hamilton last time out. There are one or two others in the race, though, who will clearly make it difficult for him. Innocent Touch, for example, from Richard Fahey's yard, with Tony Hamilton in the saddle. Consistent horse, only ran a modest fourth last time out, though. Mm. And what do you think about Gwarn, Mark? Are you a Gwarn supporter?
Well, he's a previous course and distance winner. He does seem to like it. He runs most of his races there as well, doesn't he, John? But his win rate isn't quite high enough for myself, I don't think.
No, it's not for me either. But Mike Smith, of course, local trainer to Ayr, and Gwarn ran perfectly soundly last time out when second over course and distance behind Central Square. So he's obviously got a chance. So must have Henpecked. I have a pet theory that Alistair Willans is most dangerous at Ayr. He's got quite a good strike rate here. Henpecked is a consistent second placer, has been second three times in a row. Mm. Hamilton, Ayr and Doncaster, but not beaten all that far. Could go quite well. However, I'm a Dark Ruler man in the 2.55.
Dark Ruler, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 2.55. On to the 3.10 at Market Raisin next. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles and five furlongs. A field of seven here, John, and we've got a real informed runner there in the shape of Easy Street.
Yes, should win. He should be well named for this Easy Street, I think, because it's a fairly easy, cosy race for him. He's had two wins in a row. He won at Uttoxeter last time out, which was, you know, a perfectly reasonable performance. And then prior to that, had been an even easier winner at Fontwell. John Joe O'Neill trains and Eddie Coleman in the saddle. And Easy Street's not going to start a very long price, I fear, but ought to go pretty well. What possibly to beat? Well, there's the old veteran Bardaline in the lineup, very much a Market Raisin horse, but seems to be getting a bit too long in the fang, Mark. Mm. I think Bardaline did in fact reach third place at Market Raisin last time out, but beaten a long way. Cut the Corner has been trying to win a race of this type for, I should think, the last 2 months all over the country for Dr. Richard Newland. Has often run well, but doesn't seem to get home. Sam Tristan Davis, though, in the saddle, and Sam, of course, going very well and very much a go-to jockey at the moment for the shrewd Dr. Newland. It would be nice to see Gold Ingot win, of course, for our own very own Andy Thornton, yeah, who is chasing at 1,000 winner and was a winner, Gold Ingot, for Andy Thornton and Caroline Bailey at Market Raisin last time out. If something goes wrong with the favourite, then Gold Ingot could be another winner for Andy Thornton. But it looks to me as though Easy Street ought to score.
Easy Street then should win the 3.10 at Market Raisin. We'll stay at Market Raisin next for their 4.15. This one is a Class 2 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A field of 6 here, John, and we'll start with Rolling Mall, who arrives here in winning form and got the better of Mr. Chantu last time.
Yeah, he seems to have been with us for years, Rolling Mall, Mark. But, you know, I thought, well, it must be at least 10 or 12. But actually, that's not the case. His age still in single figures. A decent horse in this sort of class, Rolling Mall. I mean, he's run well and won at Cheltenham in his time in the past, not at the festival, but is a winner down at the Cotswold course, and is in pretty good nick. As you say, beat Mr. Chantu at Worcester last time out. should do so again, ought really to win this race, but I'm not that keen on Rolling Mall winning sort of a whole series in quick succession. I think there's an interesting possibility in this race in Factor 50, who represents Philip Kirby. Now, his form's not great, but we haven't seen him either since, I think, October, when he ran at Southwell. But at that time, Phil Kirby was sort of changing stables and finishing off making his own. Great DIY man, Philip Kirby. Yeah. I mean, he's completely renovated a run-down yard, and it's in very good shape, not far from Catterick Racecourse. His horse is running much better now. Adam Nicol goes well for the stable. And I thought Factor 50 might spring a surprise here.
Okay, Factor 50 then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 4.15 at Market Raisin, and we finish off in the 4.35 at Ayr. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. A field of 11 here, John, and interesting one down there at the bottom of the weights in the shape of Nicholas T.
Yes, very much so. This is by far the best race of the afternoon, yeah. Actually, Mark. Nicholas T, yes, Jovial Jim Goldie, and ran with the winner at Ayr and was second last time out to Central Square. And Jim Goldie, although he hasn't had a great season sort of nationally, he's still getting in plenty of winners at his local course here at Ayr, and I think Nicholas T will go well. But a good race, this, so let's run down one or two of the others. Spring Offensive, for example, Richard Fahey and Adam McNamara, who's doing really well. Another winner. I got a nap out of Andrew McNamara on Friday at Haydock. He's creeping up the apprentices' table, you know, Andrew McNamara. If you can get a price about him possibly getting the title, it will be quite long, and he just might be a winner. He's a very, very good young rider. Now, he's on Spring Offensive, who ran well in much better company, the Investec Mile, I think, at Epsom last time out, when sixth to Examiner. But that was good class company. Has run one twice this season at Ripon and at Ponte. Has to go well. Pintura, Alistair Willens, getting a bit long in the fang now. I think that one will find difficulty in winning. And on that sort of score, we've got three horses who could easily take a hand, but are finding winning difficult. They are Finn Class, Ingleby Angel, and perhaps I shouldn't put Dubai Dynamo in this class, because Dubai Dynamo has already won this season and is going very well for Ruth Carr, whose horses are in great shape. But for me, the race is between Le Chador, who won last time out of there in good style, and also Nicholas T. And I think Nicholas T is an Ayr horse, and Jovial Jim Goldie will have him ready. So Nicholas T is the choice.
Nicholas T, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 4.35 at Ayr. As usual, John, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Sunday one more time.
Yes, we started the 2.55 at Ayr, and I thought Dark Ruler took a good chance for Alan Swinbank. Over the jump sent at Market Raisin in the 3.10, and really the banker of the day should be John Joe O'Neill's Easy Street in this race. 4.15, staying at Market Raisin. I'm going out on a limb here. Philip Kirby's Factor 50, and then back at Ayr for the best race rally of the afternoon. Good handicap. I'm going for the local trained Nicholas T.
Superb. Good work, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.55pm with Stephen Powell, Mick Norton and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Ayr and Market Raisin on the domestic front. Two meetings over in Ireland as well, Limerick and Naas. We'll try and get as much of those in as we can. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.